you'd like. I hope you listened to what they just sang. From time to time, I'll say certain songs are hard to sing. We can sing a lie as much as we can say a lie. But I thank you for presenting that tonight. What a blessing. What a blessing. It's true. Everything we just heard. Thank God for it. God's been good to us today.
Amen.
Go to the book of Jude. If you're physically able, join me by rising to your feet as we honor the public reading of God's holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant, immutable, irreversible, irreplaceable word. I'm glad I have a copy of it in my hands. Let's look at one verse of Scripture. We've been in this series on a letter exposing modern-day apostasy. With the exception of verses 5, 6, and 7, we've had one message out of every verse in the entire book. Today it brings us now to verse number 10. I want you to look with me, if you would, and read this with me, if you would. Verse number 10. But these speak evil. Who are the these? He's talking about apostates. Remembering what he had already told us in previous verses, what is an apostate? An apostate is a false teacher, somebody that has fallen away from the truth. Now remember, there's three reasons why that we want to learn from the book of Jude, wasn't there? We want to know so we can identify the apostate. Who is the apostate? Number two, we want to know who they are so we don't ever follow them in any way. Number three, we don't ever even want to bear the trait of an apostate in our life. Not even a little hint of it. So when he says these words, but these speak evil, he's talking about these false teachers. He's talking about people who have fallen away from the truth. They speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Now, as we continue our series on a letter exposing modern-day apostasy, I want to speak to you on this thought, the know-it-all who knows nothing. The know-it-all who knows nothing. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. How many of you have ever met one of those people before? A know-it-all. Have I ever met some know-it-alls? You know what a know-it-all is, don't you? A know-it-all is somebody who knows everything about anything, but when put to the pet test, they prove they know nothing. Back when I was a little bit younger and I had a little bit more time on my hands, my friends and I, one of our previous churches, we used to love to play church softball. Boy, we used to look forward to it. And I tell you, at the time when we were all a little younger and had more time, we had a really, really good team, even traveled some and played in different places and won some state championships and such things. But as a result of that, we were always looking for who the next big ball player was that was going to come into our church to improve our team. Every new person that came in, we were wondering, I wonder if they play ball. On one particular occasion that I recall, there was a man that came into the church, and I'm talking about this guy looked like a ball player. He was somewhat of a younger guy, stood a little over 6 foot tall, had big broad shoulders, and he just looked like an athlete. I mean, he looked like he had it all together, looked like a guy who could really hit a ball and catch a ball. After some discreet investigation, we learned by his own words that he had actually played a level, so he told us, of semi-pro baseball. Now, we had no reason to doubt any of that because he looked like a ball player, he talked like a ball player, and he acted like he knew all the rules of the game of baseball or softball. Besides that, he was a really, really nice guy. As the season approached, though, we were looking for a shortstop. Believe it or not, we learned that this guy actually played shortstop. We signed him up for the team, and we were so excited about having this guy in whom we thought could be a stud on our team to help us play ball. All of our hopes and dreams, however, were shattered at our very first practice when he showed up. Ladies and gentlemen, we put him out at shortstop, and I kid you not, this guy could not have caught a beach ball rolled to him in high grass. He couldn't have done it. He was taking balls off the teeth. I mean, he had blood going everywhere, bruises all over his legs. It was miserable. We said, goodness, let's give him a chance to go up there and hit. He couldn't hit the broadside of a red barn with a telephone pole. I'm telling you the truth, he really couldn't. One time, slow pitch softball, he swung at the ball as it was leaving the pitcher's hand. He still had 4 seconds to swing again if he wanted to. The one time he actually did make contact, he dribbled it about 4 foot out in front of home plate. We were going to have mercy on him, let the poor fella get on base. We felt bad for him for a little while. So the catcher bobbled the ball out in front of the base, but still threw him out by 40 foot because he tripped. I'm serious. He tripped. I pictured it in my mind right now. It's cracked up. I'm sorry. I tripped. He tripped as he fell, ran out of the batter's box, fell flat on his face. We thought for sure we would never see this fella again. As we were leaving the complex, sure enough, he screamed to the top of his voice, "See y'all next week!" We thought, oh no. We tried our best to change the softball practice day and not tell him, but he found out. We tried our best to change the complex we were playing, but he found out. We tried our best to change leagues, but he found out. We even moved out of state, but he found out. Thought about going to South Africa, but he found out. We had to play the entire season with this guy, and it was absolutely humiliating. I have never met a guy in all my life who was more uncoordinated when it came to the game of softball or baseball than this gentleman was. You know what he was? I felt like he was. He was a know-it-all that proved to know absolutely nothing. When we come to this verse of Scripture in the book of Jude, the 10th verse, that's exactly what we find. We find a know-it-all who knew absolutely nothing. Jude is here giving us one more identifying factor of who an apostate is. He's telling us we can identify apostate from these three thoughts that I want to share with you. He's telling us here that we can know who they are. He's telling us here why we don't need to follow them. And he's telling us here what ultimately is going to be their end. They are the know-it-all who knows nothing. Now notice these three thoughts with me about this matter of apostasy that we see. There is, first of all, the spiritual ignorance that Jude tells us about in his letter. We see the spiritual ignorance. Study the Scripture with me in the 10th verse. The Bible says, "But these speak evil," again the apostate, "these speak evil of these things which they," look at it, "know not." Now did you recognize some of those words that we just read? Something that we've learned about Jude in his study that he's been giving us. We have learned that something he does just in these first 10 verses, and he will continue to do, is he will go back and he will repeat things that he's already said to put emphasis on a particular matter. And when we look at these words, you look at them here, it says they speak evil of. They are the same words that he used back in verse number 8, where he tells us about people who speak evil of dignities. Do you remember how we studied that back then, back a couple of weeks ago in verse number 8? He is referring here to those who have problems with people who have authority over them. Remember those dignities, they just don't like anybody having any charge over them. But when we come to verse number 10, he is speaking about those people who have no care. They have no respect whatsoever about spiritual things. That's what he's saying. Speaking evil of those who have a spiritual basis about those lives. Now remember, when we see these words, speak evil of, they come from the old Greek word blasphemio. Blasphemio, and when translated into our English language, the word is simply blasphemy. The word blasphemy simply means to rail at or to revile, and that's exactly what we see. These words, speak evil of or blasphemy, they are always used in the worst possible language. The worst possible language, that's what it's referring to. He's talking about an apostate will use the worst possible language that you can imagine. I told you, Jude lowers the boom on a whole lot of stuff, and he directly addresses many people by the way that he has, the way that he writes his letters and the things that he is saying to us. One of the things that will identify an apostate is an apostate will use forms of language, listen to me, that will devalue the name of God. An apostate will use language that will devalue the name of God. When we hear those words, speak evil of, or again, blasphemy, the first thing that we think of, is it not, of taking the Lord's name in vain? Isn't that the first thing we think of? And that's absolutely true. Certainly Jude is referring to that, taking the holy, precious, and lovely name of God in vain. But it's not only that. It also is speaking of using the name of God lightly, or using it in jest. Now listen very carefully to me right now. Any form of the name of God used in a non-reverent way, it is blasphemy. Any form of the name of God used in a non-reverent way, It is blasphemy. Now remember, we want to identify the apostate. We don't ever want to follow the apostate, but we don't ever want to bear the traits of an apostate. I'm not just talking about profanity, though that be bad enough. Taking the name of God in vain, that's bad enough. I'm talking about devaluing the name of God in any way to the point that it is pointing the name of God down instead of the name of God up. Psalm chapter 73, verse number 9. Listen to this. The Bible here says they set their mouth against the heaven. In other words, against God. They set their mouth against God and their tongue walketh through the earth. The psalmist here is telling us that people are using language that does not lift up God, and they are using language that elevates more of the things of this world. And if you traveled into verse 11 of that same chapter, you would see that an apostate or somebody that uses language like that, they are proving that they have no knowledge of God. And that's what Jude is ultimately referring to. Listen closely to me. When we use slang, off-colored, or crude language, language that I won't even say, language that I won't even abbreviate in a setting just like we're in or likely any other time as well, when we use language like that, we are proving that we have no knowledge of spiritual things. We are proving ourselves to be spiritually ignorant. We are living in a day today where it just seems like people go and use whatever slang language they want to use. Not only profane language, not only taking the name of the blessed God in vain, but they'll use every other type of name of God in jest, no matter what it is. I want you to understand as kindly as I can say to you tonight that the Word of God states that you are bearing the trait of an apostate when you do those sort of things. He is saying that you are proving that you have no spiritual knowledge whatsoever. Do you really want to be classified as that? Is that what you want this world to actually think of you? You may say, my goodness, Brother John, from time to time I may have a word slip. From time to time I may use a word, again, I won't say or abbreviate, but slang words for cuss words. Slang words for words that take the name of God in vain. And you could think of what they are in your mind right now. Come out of you, they have nothing to do with God no more than it does your flesh. Using those words is just a flesh fest out of anger or just to be cool or whatever it might be. But you know exactly what I'm talking about. You may say, my goodness, preacher, I do use language like that, but I'm sure not an apostate. You may not be. All I'm telling you is you're bearing the trait of an apostate, period. It doesn't matter. You're bearing the trait of an apostate. You may not be an apostate. You may be saved and you may know that you're saved, but you are bearing the trait of an apostate. There is a man that I met some 30 or so years ago. He's a good man. Came from a good family. Grew up in a family that was in the ministry. He was a good friend of mine. We had a lot of good, clean fun together. Fun that pleased the Lord. Fun that we would go out, we wouldn't have any need to be ashamed of whatsoever. As years went on and lives got busy, we went separate ways. We got separated a little bit. Lost contact for several years. But then we came back together at an event that was lasting multiple days. We spent a lot of time together during that time. And we reconnected our friendship. And we started talking again. We had a good time. Made me laugh. Tried to make him laugh. It was just a good time getting to fellowship with him. But there's one thing that I noticed when we reconnected. I noticed that his language had become very slang. It had become very crude. It had become very off color to the point I was incredibly uncomfortable with it in every way. Being the close friend that I was, I graciously and appropriately went up to him and I expressed my concern about it. I said, man, that's not the way you were. That's not who you used to be. That's not the way you used to talk. It's kind of damaging to your testimony and I'm concerned about it. He said, John, don't worry about it all. That's just the way the guys talk down there where I'm working. And it just kind of rubbed off on me. I said, well, look, truly, I am concerned about it. He said, don't worry about it. He said, it's all good. After that event that we separated ourselves from, he went his separate way and I went my separate way and never had much contact anymore. However, the last I heard, the communication that I've had with certain people who are in his general circle, both he and his wife both had extramarital affairs. His life continued to spiral out of control. They started out by having extramarital affairs, extra relationships that they had had. They are now divorced. Their children are split up and tore all to pieces. He is now with a young lady that he will tell you that he doesn't even love, but he only feels obligated to that girl because he gave her a disease, and he is doing very little to nothing whatsoever for the Lord at all. Now, I cannot say that this man is an apostate. I believe the old boy's saved. I have no doubt about it in my life. But what I will tell you is he was bearing the traits of an apostate. His life was falling away from the truth. What he'd always been taught to be right, what he always knew was to be right, he began to fall away from the truth. He was hurting his testimony, and he was hurting the name of Christ. He was a man who had fallen away from the truth, but here's how it all started. Here's how I noticed it. I noticed it first in his language, in the slang, the crude, the off-colored language that he was using. It brought no glory to God whatsoever. It wasn't pointing anybody to Jesus. It was just pointing a bunch of people to this world. Listen, friends, your language matters. The profane language you may use, it matters. You shouldn't do that. The slang language that belittles and takes the value of God out, you shouldn't do that. The language in jest or in light of who God is, you shouldn't do that. What you're doing there is you're bearing the trait of an apostate, and he is saying that you have no knowledge of spiritual things whatsoever. You are spiritually ignorant of the things of God. As we walk out of this building tonight, I told you this is a tough study. And it's been a tough study, hadn't you? Hadn't you? You get into the Word of God, the Word of God will rub us. But when we walk out of this building tonight, every one of us ought to fall on our knees and say, "Dear God, clean up my mouth. I do not want to bear the trait of an apostate." Because when I do, it is proving that I have spiritual ignorance. But take it to the next level. Would you do that with me, please? Not only do we see the spiritual ignorance, but then we also see the superior intelligence. The superior intelligence further in verse number 10, "But these speak evil of those things which they know not." We just talked about that spiritual ignorance, but here it is. "But what they know naturally." Wrap your mind around that word "naturally." Underscored in your copy of God's Word. This word "naturally," it is speaking of produced by nature. Speaking of flesh. Speaking of things that are produced by nature. It is making a direct reference to the mind. It is making a reference to wisdom in accordance with or springing from corrupt desires and affection. It's talking about the flesh. It is knowledge pursued in the flesh and not knowledge pursued in the Spirit of God. It is talking about running after the dreams of our life like a feather blowing in the wind with no leadership of God whatsoever in our lives. Their minds are so far in the tank with this world that they cannot allow their spiritual thoughts to rise above their fleshly thoughts. The only thing they think on, the only thing they dwell on, is the things of this world. They're chasing that feather in the wind. They're going after it. They don't care about spiritual things. They are proving it in their spiritual ignorance by the language that they are using. They convince themselves that their superior intelligence will disguise their spiritual ignorance. In other words, they think their mind is stronger than God's mind. They think they're going to disguise their spiritual ignorance by making themselves more intelligent of the things of this world. Not every apostate started out, by the way, of being that way. You look at apostates all across the world. Though they may not be called of God, they're not even saved. There was likely a time when they had some good intentions of doing some good things. But they started educating themselves in a bunch of liberal, godless universities. They started being influenced by the environments that are all around them in those areas. They started experiencing some success. And then they started to convince themselves that all those things were okay without even realizing that they were being sucked into the vacuum of the devil's plan of apostasy. They educate themselves on the natural things instead of the things of God. And when they educate themselves on those natural things, they begin to believe that evolution or aspects of evolution are superior to creation. They begin to believe that the virgin birth, it is just not possible at all. They begin to question the preservation and the infallibility of the precious Word of God. When they begin to do these things, they begin to doubt the chief doctrines of the Word of God, the chief doctrines of Christianity, and they start comparing them and thinking that other religions, false religions, are just as superior as the Word of God. In a crowd of this size here tonight, I have to believe that there are some people in their life, in the weakness of our flesh, in some way or another, we have been guilty of falling away from some of these areas. We've begun guilty of doubting some things in the Word of God, doubting what the Bible says and that it is a finished and it is a done deal. What the Word of God says is our final authority on everything, and you start doubting some of those things. We talked about it earlier in the series, about you start doubting everything you've been taught. You start doubting everything the Word of God has to say. It is because you're getting natural knowledge, you've gotten out into the workforce, and you got a bunch of people that are feeding your mind with a bunch of garbage that has nothing to do with the things of God. They start feeding socialism into your mind. They start feeding drugs into your mind, alcohol into your mind, pornography into your mind, and you start to think it's okay no matter what God said whatsoever. Moms and dads, adults, or whoever they might be, you may make a job transfer just to get out and climb the corporate ladder. Nothing wrong with that whatsoever, but you get into a circle with a bunch of people who talk a bunch of trash, have nothing to do with the things of God, and then somewhere in your mind, you begin to question some of the spiritual truth, the fundamental truths of God's Word. I imagine everybody in this building at some point or another have questioned something, but the difference is, did you have enough God about you, enough spiritual things about you to go and find the truth and cut that off immediately, or did you not? You see, when we start going down those roads, we are bearing the traits of an apostate in our lives. We are allowing an influence to come into our lives that is in objection to the Word of God and what the Word of God says. Listen to me. There are some things in our finite minds that we just cannot explain about an infinite God. So you don't have to go searching for it. You're not ever going to have all the answers. That's where faith comes in. Faith just comes, and I'm going to trust God. I'm not going to worry about that coworker telling that trash he's putting in my mind. I'm not going to start questioning all this stuff. I remember the day in your mind, you think back to that day where you by faith knelt down at the foot of the cross and you said, by God's grace, I'm going with God. That is faith, and therefore you abandon all that other stuff. Don't worry about all those other things. You see, faith is what we know in our heart that we cannot explain with our mouth. Faith is what we know in our heart we cannot touch with our hand. Faith is what we know in our heart we cannot hear with our ears. An apostate, he convinces himself that these natural things, this natural superior intelligence is all that they need. All they're doing is proving their spiritual ignorance, though. They think that the more superior they are in their intellect of natural things, then they're going to be all right. They're going to tie over their spiritual ignorance. They're going to disguise it. And all they're going to do then is try to convince others to do the exact same thing. When somebody in this world starts taking you down a road that is contrary to the Word of God, you just remember that somebody bearing the traits of an apostate, and you don't want to have anything whatsoever to do with it. They'll try to convince you of things you know in your heart. They absolutely are not right. There was a pastor, a very well-known pastor, a pastor who pastored a very well-known and prestigious church. It was a doctrinally sound Bible-preaching church. This pastor was a guy who used to, at one time, preach the fundamental principles, truths, and doctrines of the Word of God. But against the advice of many, and for his own desires, he began pursuing his education for counseling into a seriously liberal, secular university. He began to be influenced by all of that garbage that was going on in those universities. He began to hang around the people that were influencing him. And he began to experience success in the natural world. The world having nothing to do with God. Having more to do with flesh than the Father. He began to experience this success in these social circles. And he went back and he fell away from the truth. To this day, he went back, and today he is no longer with his church. He has left his church entirely. He has gotten out of the ministry altogether. He refutes the Scripture. He denies the deity of Jesus Christ. And he was once a professor at the University of Southern California. And he did everything he could to try to influence young people that were in his class against Christianity. That, ladies and gentlemen, is an apostate. That man is an apostate who said that he once believed the truth. He had full access to the truth, but then he got into a circle that he got influenced by, and he began to fall away from the truth. He began to pursue natural intelligence instead of spiritual truth, and he fell away from it, damaging the cause of Christ, damaging the work of God. Many may attempt with their intellect, to dispute the truth of God. And when people do that, what they are doing is they are abandoning faith. Thus proving that they likely never had it in the first place. They are tempting in their own natural mind to explain away God. And you and I don't have the ability to explain away God. We are abandoning faith at that point, proving likely we never had it. I am telling our people about this because I want us to understand those bad guys are on the prowl, as we talked about a few weeks ago. They are slipping into the side doors, as the third verse tells us, and they are doing everything they can to influence you, sir, to influence you, ma'am, to influence you, ma'am and sir, and to influence me. They are trying to come in and destroy us from doing anything good for God. One of their primary maneuvers is trying to seek to deny the faith of others by having no faith themselves and trying to pull as many other people into it as they possibly can. They are trying to use their spiritual intellect to influence your faith, or superior intellect to influence your faith. Paul had something to say about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 4. Listen closely to this. In whom, listen, the gods of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. They are lost without God because they are blind entirely from the truth of God. They are an apostate. So you notice what Jude calls them further in the verse. He says, they are what? A brute beast. He says, those that do this, they are a brute beast. Because they have put such faith in their intellect, they have become so ignorant of spiritual things that they have no knowledge whatsoever of the truth of God, and they don't even have the ability to speak of it any more than an animal has the ability to speak of it. Anybody who denies the faith falls away from the truth. Jude is saying unequivocally right here, and they're using their natural intelligence. They are saying, you try to explain away God with your natural intelligence, you have nothing more to say than a dog or a cat or a deer you may pull out of the woods about spiritual things. You know, back a few weeks ago, we had some visitors show up here at the church. And we were thankful for them. We love visitors, don't we? Thank God for visitors. They got stuck in the air ducts back here. They were kittens. Mama had crawled up in there and had given birth to kittens. So we tried to honor our guests, so we tried to go in there and get them. What do you think would have happened if we would have brought those guests right down here to the altar, those little kittens, and we would have even brought Mama, and we would have gotten Mama and brought Mama to the altar, and we would have sat down with a copy of God's Word. And we'd said, I want y'all to listen right now. I want to talk to you about what Jesus said. What would you do if you went and you found, you know, we got dogs running around here. If we just went out on the front porch and we sat down with a dog, said, sit, I want you to pay attention right now. You sit down and you tell that dog, hey, would you tell me how I can be saved, dog? Rover, would you let me know a little bit more about the gospel? The fact of the matter is, that's just not the way it works, is it, Brother Kevin? They don't have the ability to talk to us about that. Jude is saying somebody who falls away from the truth, oh, listen to me now, somebody who falls away from the truth has no more spiritual intellect about them at all, because they've gotten such intelligence in this natural world that they can't tell you no more about the things of God than one of those animals would be able to tell you. Do you see how truly empty they are? They may have gone to the most prestigious seminary that is out there. They may have all the degrees that you can imagine. They may have charisma in their presentation. They may have pastored an influential church. They may be the leader of some so-called Christian education institution. But they know not God in their heart. They don't have the ability to talk to you about spiritual things. Let me be very clear right now. I am 1,000% in favor of pursuing every form of education, every form of respectable education in a respectable profession, especially the work of God, as high as you can and go as far as you can with it. I try my best to do it. I'm on a lifelong journey of it. God's allowed me to go to certain heights, and I thank Him for it. And I know many of you have done the same thing as well, and we ought to continue to do that. I'm 1,000 times in favor of that, but you got to be careful. You cannot be influenced by these things that have more to do with the flesh, your ambition, than they have to do with God's ambition. If you're not careful, I tell you, you preachers that are in here right now, you missionaries that are in here, we could all introduce everybody here to a bunch of people who were good people for God, but they went to a place, a seminary that had no God on it whatsoever, and they educated themselves to emptiness. They know nothing about the power of God anymore. They know nothing about a man of God standing to preach under Holy Ghost anointing of God. They know nothing about the power of God falling in a service. They know nothing about the lifting of hands and praising of the Lord. They're uncomfortable in those situations. They've educated themselves to total emptiness. I'm not talking about those people that pursue it for the glory of God, as your daughter is right now. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about those of us who have bigger ambitions about us to go out there and we begin to educate ourselves in the natural things of this world, things that God is not anywhere near. Jude is here telling us that if we'll just pay attention, we will be able to see who those people are. But unfortunately, many of us don't pay attention. And they're walking right by us every day. They are influencing our life, or trying to. If you just pay attention, you can see those that have got more superior scholastic about them than spiritual substance about them. Now let me share just two or three little things that I wrote down right now about what can help you identify who an apostate may, emphasis may, be in your path, may be in your life, or if somebody who has been influenced maybe by another apostate in their life. They display and they attempt to demand their own self-attained title of what they have accomplished in this natural world, and they try to demand that respect upon you. They are bearing the traits of apostasy. That is a warning sign of an apostate. They belittle, listen to me here, they belittle and they are offended by your conviction. And they begin to question it. That is a warning sign of an apostate. I hope you're thinking right now. They are sympathetic to people or people groups who are living in open violation to the Word of God. Those are warning signs of apostates. Folks, you can tell the sheep are in trouble when the shepherd starts speaking kindly about the wolf. You can tell the sheep are in trouble when the shepherd starts speaking kindly about the wolves. Hear me. If you have ever had any of these people cross your path, I am not saying that they are an apostate. I am not even saying that they are a full-fledged or they are leaning toward that. I'm not God. You're not God. We are not the final authority on any of that. We cannot see their heart. All I'm saying is there is warning signs out there to keep your radar up to those individuals because they bear the traits of an apostate. And you need to watch out for them. Jude is very, very direct here with us, isn't he? He is telling us those that are spiritually ignorant, they try to disguise it with superior intelligence. They can't even speak on spiritual things any more than an animal could speak upon it. He's very direct. He's very straight with us. The spiritual ignorance, the superior intelligence, the self-implosion. The self-implosion. Of course, it means a falling or a collapse, a failure or a collapse. Self, meaning it happens within, doesn't it? Implosion does. It happens within. Look further. The last part of the verse. Look what Jude tells us here. In those things, they corrupt themselves. Everything we just talked about is what he's saying here. In those things that they do, they're spiritually ignorant. They try to disguise it with spiritual intelligence. They have no knowledge of God, and they cover it up with natural things of this world. You following me? They destroy themselves. Self-implosion. The word corrupt that we see right here, translated in our language, the English language, it means to waste. It means to shrivel or ruin by means of moral influence. Moral decay is what it's referring to. That word destroy that is used, it is meaning, he takes it a little bit further, to destroy by means of corruption. Vines takes it even further and he says utterly perish, darkness, destruction, hell. To utterly be destroyed. It is not just that the apostate will be utterly destroyed. It is that they will do it to themselves. Nobody else is going to destroy them. They will do it to themselves. It doesn't matter how many seminary degrees that they may have. It doesn't matter how much charisma they may have in their presentation. It doesn't matter the prestigious church that they may pastor or the education institution that they head up. It doesn't matter at all. They have built their lives on natural things, totally obsessed with themselves, but they are totally empty of the truth of God. Their superior intelligence of this world makes them think that they know everything that there is to know that they ever even need to know. And so they forget everything else. And as a result, they end up utterly destroying themselves. An apostate always wants to pass the blame. You ever met somebody like that? They always want to pass the blame for their bad decisions, the mess that they're in, for the decisions that they have made. And they want to stick it on somebody else. They pass the blame for all of those things because they think they know everything. And they have educated themselves on the natural things of this world, proving their spiritual ignorance. This exactly is what will happen at the judgment seat of Christ. This blame game of passing it on to everybody else, it's not going to stop right here. This is just a prelude of it. Matthew talks about it in his experience, the 7th chapter, beginning in the 22nd verse. Listen to what he says. Many will say to the Lord in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not professed? Have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Matthew is telling us that the day is going to come. Jude is reinforcing it. That they are even going to stand before a holy God. And they are going to try to pass blame for the decisions that they made. Said, Lord, this is your fault. I've done all this. I deserve to be granted entrance into heaven. The blame game will go on and on and on and on until God has the last word. And you rest assured, ladies and gentlemen, God will always, 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 always have the last word. We've talked about a whole lot of stuff in these first 10 verses. Rebellion. We've talked about it. God will always have the last word. The heartbreaking reality in the truth of an apostate is that the moment will come when God, in this life, when God will simply leave them to themselves. God will simply leave them alone to be destroyed in their own sin. Lost friend, that's what God will do to you too. The more you reject Christ, there is the sin unto death. The sin that God says, you've crossed my line, you've sinned away my day of grace, and I'm going to leave you alone for you to destroy yourself. Don't you ever live your life thinking you're going to have the last word. You're going to stand before a holy and a righteous and a pure God one day, likely very soon, and He will have the last word. What will that word be if you stood before Him tonight? Would it be, well done, enter thou in? Or would it be, depart from me? Are you bearing traits of an apostate tonight? Jude has just given us a clear picture of an apostate or those that bear the trait of it. They are the know-it-all who knows nothing. As Miss Mickey kinks her way to the piano right now, I want you to search your life. I want you to think very carefully about what the Word of God has just laid out to us. The purpose of this series, it has been to help us to identify and stay away from the apostate. I am not suggesting that you're an apostate. I'm not suggesting that you're not saved. You may know without any doubt you're a child of God. I'm not suggesting that at all. But I have to believe there have been things we've studied in this series and even tonight perhaps, that God has put His finger on our life and say, you are showing the signs, bearing the traits of an apostate. You're proving your spiritual ignorance. You have no knowledge of true spiritual things. And tonight is the night that we need to reverse that trend. And you are falling away from the truth. Now listen very closely to me, friend. Those who fall away from the truth, they can only fall so far before hitting rock bottom. No one has ever escaped God's judgment. Nobody ever will. You will not go into eternity and ever say that in this pulpit and in this church you were not told that God's judgment is coming. With every failure that we may have, I don't believe that's one of them. The Word of God is presented, and you know what's right, and you know what's wrong. And you're only going to fall so far. It's time tonight to reverse the trend. And all those traits that may bear apostasy, maybe it's in our language. Maybe we need to fall down tonight and say, Lord, yeah, I've been guilty of some crude language, some off-covered language, or even profane language. I don't want to bear the trait of an apostate. I want to be faithful to the very end. Would you rise quietly and reverently to your feet with me?